Thanks for listening to Schlereth than Evans On Demand, brought to you by Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. If you're in the market for replacement windows, there's only one place to turn. That's Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. Visit them online at windowsforyourhome.com.
Every morning at 8 a.m., we take the best question you have for Mark Schlereth using hashtag question mark on social media and the text line. And now it's time for Question Mark.
All right, question mark, and I've got the question. I'm going to question Troy here. So, Troy, the question is,
what would you say you do here?
Yeah, what would you say? But my question to you is, and you mentioned this, you know, if Chad Kelly were to catch, if you gave him the number two reps, it would signify that, not necessarily surpass him, but he caught Paxton Lynch. Your mind, you've watched the practice. You've been at every practice. You watched the scrimmage. You saw what they did yesterday. Has he caught Paxton Lynch?
He hasn't, because he hasn't had any number two reps. So in fairness, but for me, he's earned the right to get some two reps.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's, listen, I've said this in print, or excuse me, online and on air on Denver 7, that if he's going to win the number two job, which is still a long shot, he's going to do it with fewer opportunities. But has he caught him? He has not. But he's earned the right, Mark, to get a few number two reps based on how he's playing.
See, you know, I just watching practice. Now, understand, and this always drives me crazy, so I have to be careful not to be a hypocrite. I don't have the script. The Broncos don't hand me a script and say, here you go, this is what we're running today. So, you know, when you start kind of just grading things by the eyeball test, you don't have context. So, we sit here and say, well, that was a completion, that was it. But you don't know if it's to the right guy sometimes. You don't know what the read was. You don't know what the coaching points were. You know, so sometimes you see something that looks bad, and you weren't in the meeting. You may have missed the coaching point, right? So that's kind of where you are right now in regards to this. When I watch Paxton Lynch play versus even Chad Kelly, there just seems to me to be hesitation. It looks muddy. It's like running in the sand. It just doesn't feel like it's operating at a speed and an efficiency level that it needs to be operating in. And you can't play that way. Like, if you give him one read, you give him one guy to throw it to, you know, and off a play action or whatever, or you've got a boot keep game, yeah, all day long you can do that. But that's not NFL offense. You just can't say, hey, all we're going to do is play the boot game all game. That's all we're going to do, because eventually, you know, the defense isn't going to read anything but the boot game. You're going to get a mouthful of Rydell. So I just don't know. Like, when I watch it, it just looks off. It looks slow. It looks murky. It looks, you know, it looks just a second behind where it should be. And when I watch Chad Kelly, it looks like it operates at a more efficient speed. It just looks cleaner. And that's where I would say, to me, Chad Kelly is at least, like you said, earned those opportunities, but he has, like, in my mind, he's ahead of where Paxton Lynch is right now, just from the quickness of decision making.
Well, again, we'll see. If they give him two reps, that's an indictment of where Lynch is, frankly, and that would signal that they're going to have to go out and get a veteran, because there's no way they're going to go into the season and trust Chad Kelly to be the backup. With all due respect to Kelly, a guy who's never taken a snap, your season would be hanging in the balance, Mark, if Keenan were to miss 2 to 3 weeks. So if Kelly gets to the point where he supplants Lynch, which, again, I think is still a long shot, then they're going to have to get a veteran quarterback. They're not going to post opener with Kelly as the true backup. That would be an incredible risk.
All right, it's question mark. If you got a question for me or for Troy, you can hit us up on the RamosLaw.com. Text line 303-713-1043. Since we're on the young guys, here's one, unnamed, comes in. What, if any, expectations are there for DeMarcus Walker? It's a guy I haven't heard anything of at this camp. You know, you would expect, hey, he's back down the defensive line. You expect to hear some buzz about certain guys. He's one of those young guys that didn't really play last year, so you're expecting, you know, this is a young guy in his second year, much like Jake Butt, who didn't play last year, although coming off an injury, DeMarcus Walker wasn't. But this is a guy you would expect to make a leap to at least produce. What has he done anything in camp? What have you heard? What have you seen from DeMarcus Walker?
Well, he looks the part now. He's up to 273 pounds. He got down to, you know, in the low 240s last year when they moved him and completely botched experiment to put him at outside linebacker. He got sick and he dropped weight to play outside linebacker. He's bigger. He's stronger. He looks like the guy I saw at Florida State where he was a disruptive force. But on this line, it's a really deep position group, Mark. So he's going to have to be satisfied at least initially with being a rotational guy who makes an impact. But I will say this, and thank you for the text, and all our listeners out here joining us this morning. He is going to have an opportunity because Clinton McDonald missed Thursday's practice. Missed last night's walkthrough with a shoulder issue. It did not sound great. There's real concern about his shoulder. Right now, Walker's already listed on the depth chart ahead of McDonald, but that was probably kind of an either-or thing. If Clinton McDonald's shoulder prevents him from being ready for the season, it's going to create more opportunity for DeMarcus Walker as a rotational player on the defensive line, and they will need some inside rush from him then. Because that's what they got McDonald for. He had 5 sacks last year as an inside rusher for Tampa Bay. So to answer the question, Walker looks better. He looks the part. And now he's going to have a platform to show it because Clinton McDonald's out.
Okay, here's one more, and this is for you. You know, I can chime in too. But can you explain exactly what a conditional pick is? That's from Sean in Century City, maybe, or Central City? Central City, I guess. So, Sean, what exactly is a conditional draft pick?
The funny answer would be a draft pick that's actually in condition, that's had good fitness throughout his life and passes a physical. No. All seriousness, it's based on conditional pick is if you traded, again, playing the hypothetical game, you trade Lynch to,
Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay, because they need a quarterback.
Jameis Winston is a question mark, so you trade him to Tampa Bay.
Where he's from, frankly. He's from the Orlando area.
Okay.
So you trade him there, and the conditional pick would be it's a seventh rounder straight up if he doesn't start. But if he starts 4 games,
it goes to a sixth rounder. Okay.
So the conditions are basically if this guy becomes something more than we think, you got to give us a little more. You got to protect us here. So it's essentially that. Now, you can't have this huge variance that if he starts, it goes from a seventh rounder to a second rounder. It essentially goes from a seventh rounder that if he just basically makes your roster type thing to it could be a sixth rounder if he plays. It's usually like X amount of snaps or starts. So if he starts 5 games, then that pick becomes a sixth rounder.
Yeah.
So it's just to protect the team if he develops into a little more so they don't feel like they got completely hoodwinked on a deal.
You know what I thought would be great? If they traded him to Tampa and he lived on that boat in Tampa Stadium.
And just worked as the mascot.
Right.
On days he's not playing. He could also be Kevin from Backstreet Boys. He's a dead ringer for Kevin from Backstreet Boys.
I wish Pirate DeHuff was here.
Do you want Pirate DeHuff here?
Is Pirate DeHuff here? So if Paxton was on the boat, like what would that was your game day job, is like could you get a conditional pick if you traded him to Tampa and he became the boat guy on Sundays that like shot the cannon and like maybe gave tours?
I think you could in an independent baseball league where you trade guys for a bucket of balls and bats. And, you know, if you were Charlie Finley was running the team or Bill Veeck, perhaps. In the NFL, I think they would frown upon that.
Right, they might frown upon that. Pirate DeHuff, what would the tour sound like?
Yar, welcome to my boat. Yar, there be the poop deck, and over here is where my failures exist. Yar, I be Poxtonly.
Yeah, okay, that's enough.
That was a splendid idea. Are you going to go away?
I love Paxton. I love Paxton the Pirate. Paxton the Pirate, brought to you by.
No,
it's not.
Yeah.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
All right. Well, that is question mark, question Troy. But that's what a conditional draft pick actually exists of. It's a draft pick that there is obviously a condition on, so henceforth the name conditional draft pick, and that's the way that goes. Let's get one more out there. So, okay, we've got a Paxton here, Ballers, season three, season four coming up. Jeff Heuermann. Jeff Heuermann's been hurt during training camp. The tight end position is another position with young players. You're going to count on young players. Yesterday, Troy Fumagalli was injured. Troy's got a groin injury right now. How do you see this thing shaking out at the tight end position?
Again, for me, Jake Butt's been the best tight end in camp because he blocks better than even I expected. I would just assume at some point he's going to take over the starting role. Now, again, you know, if they run a double tight end package, who is the starter? I mean, does that really matter? Is that relevant? I want to see the number of snaps at the end of the game. A lot of times in these cases, and you know this, Mark, in terms of running backs and some of these skill positions, it doesn't matter who starts. Look at the number of snaps at the end of the game. Jeff Heuermann is getting closer to returning to the practice field. He's been working out, testing the sore knee, so I would expect he will be back either later this week or early next week. I don't see him playing in the game. Jermaine Brock is not going to play, Vance Joseph said. He's getting closer to practicing. But how do I see it shaking out? I see Jake Butt as the starter at the beginning of the season from the post. I just see that that's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
And when you look behind him, Austin Traylor, for me, is in a tough spot. He's got to show a little more. He's just been kind of a guy. They like the blocking of Brian Parker. The guy to keep an eye on that could be an X factor in this is Matt Lacoste. But I'm curious, if Jake Butt becomes a starter, do you keep Heuermann at that point? Or do you just say, you know what, it's just not going to happen here. It's just not going to ever happen. Do you move on from him? If you do, you would have to trust that Matt Lacoste could be that guy or a Brian Parker. Fumagalli, I got to see, because now he's got a groin injury. He had a sports hernia surgery in the offseason, and he has an injury history. While I've liked what I've seen from him early, I think you got to pump the brakes on those expectations. But with Heuermann, it's one of those things. If he's not the starter, is he on the team, Mark? That's where I'm wondering, because he hasn't shown he can stay healthy either. So I think he needs to have a good finish to camp here, because he essentially missed a week now with the sore knee.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting to me, you know, the running back position. You speak of Heuermann's missed some time, and you know, do we move on from a guy that's been here for 3 years but really has never produced and hasn't been able to, you know, hasn't been able to stay healthy? I look at the running back position very much the same way. I just really feel like Devontae Booker is the starter by almost default. Kind of meaning, like, right now, we're really hoping somebody advances. We're really hoping that we change the depth chart, because you look at the depth chart. It was released yesterday, Troy. Devontae Booker 1, Royce Freeman 2, D'Angelo Henderson 3, David Williams, and then Phillip Lindsay. Right? So you've got three rookies in there, D'Angelo Henderson being a second-year guy. It almost feels like, to me, they would love to advance a Royce Freeman or somebody in that number one slot, and they're waiting for somebody to kind of step up. And Vance Joseph said this yesterday at his press conference. He's like, hey, like, I hope we change this depth chart. I hope we advance. I hope some guys kind of get it. I hope some guys, you know, get better. It feels like to me that's a running back conversation. Like, I'm really waiting for one of these young guys to really kind of get the blitz pickup aspect of it, to be able to catch the ball, to be able to run in traffic, to really set up our running game. And that's something that I think they're kind of waiting on.
And you know, I think you're going to need the game to see that, Mark, because we haven't seen any of those young running backs necessarily distinguish themselves in the ground game. And pass pro might be the one that breaks the tie with Booker. If you don't see Freeman kind of bust out and be, you know, better than Booker running the ball, if it's equal, they're going to play Booker because of the pass pro. We both agree on that, right? That they'll play him. And so I'm curious to see, because Freeman hasn't popped yet. He looks the part. He's physically, you know, he looks like a plow horse, the guy you want to give the ball 15, 20 times. But we got to see it. We haven't really seen it yet here in training camp. Also, a note on Lindsay. He's listed as the number one kick returner. For me, it looks like it's setting up that Isaiah McKenzie and Lindsay are in a battle for one roster spot, because Lindsay is listed basically at fifth string running back. If he can't get ahead of David Williams on that depth chart, it looks like to me Lindsay could be battling with Isaiah McKenzie to win a roster spot. Now, it might help if Craycraft wins the punt return job, then that might clear a path. But for all the talk of Phillip Lindsay, and you want to see him, you know, the local guy story, local kid makes good, he's in still a fight for a roster spot, and it might come down to he or Isaiah McKenzie.
And that, I mean, the running back position is a really interesting position to me because, obviously, you've got to have production there and the running game in general. And, you know, it's funny, I bump into Bill Musgrave yesterday, the offensive coordinator, and I think Billy's doing a great job because I think what one thing that Billy does as a former player, he understands how difficult this game is. He's got great empathy for how hard it is to play quarterback, how hard it is to play offensive line. He gets it. I mean, you know, he was a second, third team quarterback for the majority of his career, with, you know, San Francisco, then here in Denver. And so Billy understands, you know, how difficult those things are. He really does a great job of developing an offense that accentuates the strengths of the personnel and tries to circumvent the weaknesses. And I just asked him in passing yesterday, like, what are you going to base your running game in? Like, what is your running game? You know, and you think of West Coast offense, you think of Gary Kubiak, you think of Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco, you think of the wide zone stuff, right? That's what they're trying to run in New Orleans right now. Alex Gibbs, my former offensive line coach, is consulting out there in New Orleans on the wide zone stuff. So they're really more of a wide zone team. And you think about that. And just in passing, just mentioned it to Billy, like, what are you guys going to base out of? And you know what his answer to me was? I'm not sure yet.
Because he just hasn't seen enough?
He just doesn't know what they're good at yet. Like, we're still like a work in progress. Like, we're trying to figure out what we can be. And, like, I know they have a bunch of different base plays. You know, I know they have a bunch of zone stuff. I know they have gap stuff. I saw them run some counter stuff the other day in practice. So they've got, everybody has it. Like, don't think that an offensive coordinator comes out and reinvents offense, right? I mean, we're all running the same stuff. Every team runs the same package of plays. They may have a different language. It may be called something different, but it's all the same stuff. It's just on, based on what your team can do. And I love that we're going to base whatever our base is going to become is going to be because of what we see in practice and what we actually execute well. And so they are, you know, even when they have an off day like they did yesterday, the ball was on the ground. It was fairly demoralizing, all this, that, and the other. At the very least, they're a work in progress. And I think we're going to see a little bit more come Minnesota on Saturday of what they become. But it's imperative that they run the ball well.
They have to. The one reason there's one point of emphasis on this, but why I think they have a better than average chance to run the ball well. Remember, they did that pretty well last year with CJ. The problem with CJ was he wasn't a threat any other way than running the football. They need a more diversified backfield, even if that means, frankly, Booker as a third down threat and Freeman is the guy on first and second down. They need to scare teams with how are we going to match up. And they didn't do that last year because CJ was essentially a running back, and that was it. He wasn't catching anything out of the backfield. He wasn't creating mismatches in the passing game. And that's not even on him. That's just the way the game was called. But here's what I see, Mark. Case Keenum is comfortable under center. And for them to have a good running game, don't you agree that starts there, that you can't be in pistol and shotgun primarily if you're going to be a, quote, physical team?
Yeah, I am not a fan. It just is. This is from, you know, experience. Just not a fan of being in shotgun and trying to run the ball. It just is. It's a different animal. And I've said this many times, not only does it eliminate about half of what you can run, you scrap pile a bunch of plays, but it also ruins a lot of your play action stuff. You know, a lot of your quick hit and play action stuff because they don't honor it. The defense doesn't honor it. The backers play at a different depth when you're in shotgun. They get more depth, so those underneath the underneath routes, the crossing routes and the hooks by the tight ends and all those things that are meant to, you know, to be right behind the linebacking core in front of the safeties, you know, in that mid-range area, the backers get more depth. So those routes have to be deeper. It means you got to hold the ball a little bit longer. They have more depth. So therefore it's harder. The windows are tighter. They're not as big. It just ruins some of your play action stuff as well, Troy. So I am not a fan of you know, like, I understand time and place. I'm not a fan of shotgun. I played 6 years or 4 years under Joe Gibbs in Washington. We didn't do shotgun. Everything we did was under center.
100%. But you played in black and white film era, right?
Pretty much, yeah. But yeah, you like it. I called you fat. Now you're calling me old.
Yeah, now you're old.
Right. All right. I mean, that's touche.
They didn't have game film when Mark played. They had the reels that you just hear.
You know what? We did have in college. They did have.
No, they didn't.
Oh yeah. that film.
That is crazy.
Like it's like 16 millimeter.
It's a Zapruder film.
And yeah, and it was just like you would sit there. The thing about that film, literally, when you're like watching film, how quickly. You know, it's like those noise machines. You ever have a noise machine by your bed that, like, has waves or whatever, right? And it's that constant noise, or you run a fan or something because you like that just tone, like that there's a certain tone and it helps you fall asleep. That film, that 16 millimeter, I'd be sitting in my coach's office in college and that'd be running. And, it'd be like, and all of a sudden you'd just be like...
You're watching just them. The soothing sounds of a cricket.
All right, and you're just out there. You have the little rewind button, you know, so it's going back and forth. And then you would have to splice it when the film broke. So they had these little tape splicers.
Yeah, I had to do that for radio stations. That was just, oh my god, that was awful.
And so you would splice both ends of it. It'd be like a sharp cut, you know, like putting. Have you ever put trim like crown molding or base trim on the bottom of the floor.
Yeah.
You ever put that together? You know,
I have not, but I know what you're talking about.
So you get like a miter box saw where you cut each angle and then they fit together perfectly. So you'd splice the film that way. You'd splice it one on one side, one on the other side, and then it'd lay in this thing in the track. As you took it out, lay in the track, and then you put a piece of scotch tape over it.
Did you have to splice as a player, or did they have to?
Oh, yeah, when you're, like, I would watch film. So I would take all my classes in the morning, and then I'd be done at, like, with my classes, I'd be done by 11, 11:30, and then we'd have, a meeting at 2:30 or whatever. So I would be in watching film and I would do it in my offensive line coach's office. He'd always have a projector set up for me and I'd go in and watch film, like for 2 hours before I went down and got dressed in an hour and a half or whatever it was before I got dressed before we had meetings. Cause I like to study, you know, and so I'd have that 16 millimeter and there'd be the splicer right there in case things broke and that's what we did back then.
So, in all seriousness, I'm giving you a hard time, but if you want to know why Mark Schlereth was a Pro Bowler and played forever, these are reasons, though.
Right.
Because it meant that much to you. How many kids, how many guys were joining you in there?
I was the only guy that was ever in there.
I tell kids this story all the time. You have to separate yourself. It's not what happens on the practice field. It's everything that happens away from the practice field. If you're going to play, whether it's college football or college baseball, whether you're going to make it to the pros and whether you're going to be a good pro, I can guarantee you in 99% of the cases, the work that distinguishes you is not happening on the practice field. That is the bare minimum. That's the time card you punch in. It's everything that happens away from the facility on your time. The 10,000 hours idea.
Right.
And that's like your story when we were having fun with it, but that's why I guarantee you that's part of why you made it. If you just tried to get to the NFL on athletic ability, if you weren't drafted the right spot, they weren't going to give you the benefit of the doubt, Mark.
Yeah, you were.
But you distinguish yourself with your knowledge / athletic ability. Just telling you people, it doesn't happen by accident at this level. And if you want to play at the next level in college, if you want to play at the next level in the pros, guys who play at this level, it is a lifestyle in terms of their work ethic.
And I think that's one of the things about this rookie class that sets them apart. I talked to a player about one of these rookies, and his answer didn't surprise me, but it was one of those things that you look at and say, man, this is going to be good for the Denver Broncos. I'll tell you that story next.
Mark Schlereth here. When you're looking to replace your windows, you want the best. That's why I endorse Gravina's Window Center of Littleton. They sell Infinity from Marvin fiberglass windows. You can't buy Infinity windows from big box stores, so you know they never compromise on quality. Infinity fiberglass windows offer unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and durability. So call my friends at Gravina's Window Center of Littleton, 303-794-0490, or find them online at windowsforyourhome.com, and make sure you tell them Stink sent you.
Yeah.
Mark wants it that way.
Now, this is this because you, right here. This is like, no, keep that going. What is that, Little Backstreet
That's
Boys?
Little Backstreet Boys. I couldn't stand Backstreet Boys. They're back again. They have a hit single on the radio, and even now. Like, this guy's got to be in their 50s, aren't they? It's a bizarre thing to be a boy band member at 50.
But you said that Paxton Lynch looks like
Kevin from the Backstreet Boys. I will find you the picture.
He does, though.
He does.
Right.
Somebody on Twitter put it up for me. Nikki Jabala, when I worked with her at the Post, she found it and put them side by side instantly because she's a whiz that way with the computer. But he bears a striking resemblance, I will say that. So if he disappears for a few days in camp,
right,
and let's say the Backstreet Boys are in Salt Lake,
right,
I'm just saying.
You're just saying there could be some type of connection.
You might connect the dots.
So, you know, it's funny because, you know, my kids are a bit older, right?
Yes.
And so my daughters, who were here at camp yesterday, were big NSYNC fans. And so I knew of NSYNC. I mean, this is back before NSYNC was big because they used to do like mall tours and stuff, you know? When you're first breaking out and you're kind of a boy band, you go sing at a mall, you know, and they do a video and all the little teeny bopper girls are screaming, right? So I knew NSYNC. And funny story is I'm playing in the Pro Bowl and NSYNC does the halftime. And after we get done with the Pro Bowl, they have like the luau. And all the families are there, and you eat, and you kind of hang out. And my wife and kids were here because of school, because my kids were older. And so I was just there by myself. And I'm just standing around the party, kind of eating, you know, grubbing whatever they had out there. And I see the band. And, like, nobody knows who they are. Well, I mean, you've got a bunch of NFL players, you know, and if they do have kids, they're all one or two. I've got, you know, girls who are, like, 11 and, you know, they're, like, teenagers, right? And so I'm like, hey. So I ended up talking. I'm still buddies with a couple of the guys. Like Justin Timberlake and, you know, all these guys. I still know the guys, you know. And so what I'm telling you is I'm kind of a big deal with NSYNC is what I'm telling you.
Listen, Justin Timberlake is insanely talented.
The guy's
funny.
Amazing.
Yeah, he has done some skits on Saturday Night Live to this day that are just remarkable.
Right.
And he hosted the ESPYs. I thought he was the best, he and Drake. But I can honestly say I was not an NSYNC guy. I listened to cheesy metal in high school. But I would have known. But when you have kids who are teenagers, you learn pop music. Like this summer, I coached 17-year-olds in baseball
right.
for 45 games, and we were on the road for roughly a month.
So you knew it was going
and
on.
And we drove to Albuquerque and back.
Right.
And I have one of the kids, Turner Pruitt, our catcher. He was my DJ sitting next to me. And so I've learned a lot about Post Malone. My son saw Post Malone in concert here at Red Rock.
I have no idea who that is, but keep going.
Post Malone, 92 Explorer, Better Now.
Right.
Better Now, they play out here all the time.
Right. You know who's better than Post Malone? Karl Malone. In the Post.
In the Post, he is.
Boom.
In the Post, he is.
Right. Mic drop. We're done, people. We'll see you next time.
I listened to Drake's new, the CD he dropped through and through.
All right.
So I've got I was a DJ in college, but I was for alternative music. That's how old I am. U2 was alternative. You're still spinning it. You were still spinning it.
Did you ever go wiki 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 wiki?
No, because we're alternative.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, so you're like bringing in U2 off of Strawberry Zots.
Right.
Like you're bringing it in. You're bringing in Violet Femmes. Off of the Dead Milkman. Like, it was
right,
a different.
Right.
But that's when you said splice tape. That's how we did commercials.
Okay.
And we had carts to do commercials that literally were like an 8-track on steroids. And I had to learn to do the board. That's why I laugh every time you're in charge of the board. Because when I had to do the board, we hosted a sports radio show. And then we DJ'd. The board was my nightmare. Understanding the board coming in and out of breaks. And how to use commercials and
yeah,
he's hot. His mic's not hot. So.
Right. I see. I'm still the worst. Now we were talking about, and you were talking about, you know, the young kids that you coached this summer and you traveled around with them. I'm looking at young kids on this Broncos, and there's a bunch of them out here, and there is
they don't act their age for
no,
once.
There's a bunch of kids on this team that have the potential to be, I think, to be really good, like to be guys that we look at down the road and say, man, remember, like this is. Like Cortland Sutton may be the best second rounder they've ever picked here at the Denver Broncos. Like that type of kind of impact. And it's funny, Brandon Marshall was coming off the field yesterday, so I ended up kind of pulling Brandon aside, just kind of talking about camp and where he's at and his health and all those kind of things. The things, you know, guys that former players talk about. Then I asked him about Josie Jewell. like, what about this kid? And he goes, let me tell you something, man. He only practiced for a couple days. You know, he had a little bit of a hamstring type of thing. But he's like, this kid can play. He's going to play. And he was just like, the one thing that resonates with him is, man, the kid is smart. Like, he really understands football. Like, he is smart. He is. There's a reason when you don't run well at the combine, but
which
you put him on film,
right,
and he's making every single tackle. He just diagnoses. He reads things. He sees things. He diagnoses things, and he goes out and makes plays. He just makes plays. And it was one of the big things that the Broncos did this year was to essentially say, let's just focus on football character, football knowledge. Let's go after those guys. And they did that with Josie Jewell, and Brandon Marshall was just, I mean, he couldn't speak enough good things about Josie Jewell from the intelligence factor.
But if you
that
closed,
becomes huge.
But if you closed your eyes and heard that, he could have been talking about Deshaun Hamilton.
Right.
He could have been talking about Cortland Sutton. I mean, he's talking about Jewell. That's the part I like about this rookie class. They got the cerebral side.
Right.
Last year, again, I'm not trying to say, but it was bad because they had one guy contribute. But part of the issue was guys were not picking up the game quickly enough. Even if they physically looked the part, mentally they weren't up to speed. These guys come in. Emmanuel Sanders pulled me aside the other day, Mark, and told me the same thing. He's like, Cortland Sutton gets it. Now, he needs to run more than the fade route, but he gets it. He's respectful. He wants to be the starter, but he understands his role to help us all get better this year. Deshaun Hamilton, he looked at me, he's like, the guy, all he does is run the right route. He's in the right spot all the time. And that means a lot to veterans, because what does it say, Mark, that they're in the film room?
Right.
When guys come out here and don't make mistakes, what does that tell you as a veteran player?
Yeah. I think the way you look at it, and I think the way that the NFL and smart teams are going to break this thing down, is they are going to start to understand, with the limited time that we have to practice, the limited time you have to grow, the fact that, you know, you're studying film on your own. You're not sitting in a group like we used to sit in a group because we didn't take the film home with us. Like, there's not that kind of collective group. Like, the more that we advance from a technology standpoint, the less connected we are as people. We're more connected with technology, less and less connected as people. And studying football, to me, it's a people thing. You know, you got to be connected,
yeah,
right?
It's interesting because kids don't learn that way anymore.
Right, and I think it's a really hard thing to progress in this business when you're not connected together, progressing together, learning together. So I think it becomes more and more imperative, and I think the Broncos jumped on this. I think the Broncos understand this based on their last couple of drafts. If we're going to have guys produce early, they better be the smartest football guys that we can focus on. It's like I told you, I sat in my coach's office in college every day. I took classes early. I was always in a class at 7 a.m. Like, right, whatever the first class of the day was, I'm in that class. I always put my schedule that way so that I could be in there studying film, and I'd be the only person in there studying that film. I'd spend 2 hours studying it, but it helped me transition to the next level. It helped me understand football and have a deeper understanding of the game. And I think that's what you're seeing with this rookie class, and why I think this rookie class is going to be so productive. Troy, I just believe that it's going to be that productive.
Well, the optimism surrounding it is real. You have, again, I think five rookies are going to contribute. Cortland Sutton and Bradley Chubb are going to contribute in meaningful ways. And if they play up to their potential, this team has every chance to be hanging around to the end to have a chance to reach the playoffs. I've said 8-8, but again, it could be 9-7 at the end, and that gets you in. But if this rookie class is as good as we think they are, everything is on the table in terms of getting back to a winning record and getting back to the playoffs.
Well, guys that need to produce, Paxton Lynch, Saturday night, Minnesota Vikings. Is this game imperative for Paxton Lynch if he's going to continue his career here in Denver? We'll discuss, and I'll ask Troy next.
You and I in a little toy shop, buy a bag of balloons with the money we've got. Set them free.
I don't know why you're playing this, Ben, but it just makes me happy, so just keep it up.
They were gone.
Oh, it's just because it makes me happy? Because you know how miserable I am right now hosting this show? My partner, Mike Evans, out. I got Troy Rank, though, so Troy Rank makes me happy. And this song makes me happy right here. Nina. Did you ever play this song when you were, you know, when you were doing your alternative DJing?
If we played it, it would have been the German version.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You got to be off the
Hey,
Nine Luftballoon.
Yeah, Ben, do you have my my German? Yeah, I see that. I sang this in German. Go ahead, play that for Troy one more time. See?
That's you?
Yeah, that's me. Pretending to speak German.
I remember this video too. It's so bad. 80s MTV videos.
They were tremendous. They were awful tremendous.
You and I could put our phone out right now and film an 80s video in one take. They were so bad.
Yeah.
Wonderfully cheesy. The same reason I love TJ Hooker. It's so bad, it's good. 80s videos are just atrocious.
Which makes them, it just makes them that good.
It's like a guilty pleasure. It's so bad. Yeah. You just can't stop watching.
Speaking of atrocious, Paxton Lynch's career to this point.
Nice transition.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we got a standing ovation there. So, was that Greg Deese? We got other radio people coming over like, really, dude? That was your tease? All right. So I'm blunt as a spoon. All right. But it has been to this point. I mean, it's nothing short of a disappointment. Does Paxton Lynch need to have a great game Saturday? Does he need to progress to the point where, you know, there's something to lean on, to something to look at? Does he have to impress this coaching staff to a point, where they're just like blown away for him to continue to get this opportunity, or you know, is the writing on the wall? Is Paxton Lynch's career here going to be short-lived, and are they going to bring in a veteran quarterback at some point?
It just feels like it's not going to end well for him. Now, whether that means he ends up third string behind a veteran or they find a way to move him. Now, it's not over yet. He could change minds with a huge performance this Saturday against the Minnesota Vikings when he'll be going opposite of Trevor Siemian. It's a fascinating game in that way because Keenum's going against Cousins, the guy who replaced him. Lynch is going against Siemian, the guy that beat him out. And Chad Kelly's going against Kyle Sloter, who had the third spot here in Denver last year. So, bizarre game for a preseason. A lot of storylines. But Paxton, at some point, the cloud on the beyond the line of scrimmage has to lift for him. We talk about the cerebral part. Physically, he's gifted. Big arm, 6'7", 235, runs well. But, again, that's not the modern NFL. You have to have the software to match the hardware to succeed at quarterback. And can it change? Yes, but I think now he's clearly climbing uphill because there's just enough evidence to say, geez, I don't know now. Well, last year you're like, oh, he's still young, new coordinator, he's going to get it. Now it's year three. He's had Musgrave for the better part of a season and a half. At some point it's got to click, Mark. Coaches always tell me, if you show it to me and give me something to hold on to, you know, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. But right. I have to see it. With Lynch, we just haven't seen enough. So maybe this is the start with a big practice today and tomorrow, and he goes out and shows out on Saturday, that they change their mind. But I would say right now the odds are tilting the other way, that they may be forced to go get a veteran to back up Case Keenum.
Okay, gauge it for me then. Gauge it for me from a coach's perspective. Put on your coaching hat. You're upstairs in the offices right now. You're with Vance Joseph. You're with Bill Musgrave. You're an offensive consultant. Your overall perception of how they feel about Paxton, and like, put a percentage. What is that percentage? Okay, so he shows out. He plays like the light goes on, and he shows out in the game, and all of a sudden it starts to click in practice, and he's rolling. Like, what do you think the percentage of that happening is, and the percentage of the coaches, like the coaches mind, like how many of the coaches have already said, hey, I've moved on, like that kid's not going to get, at least here, it's not going to work. Where would you kind of throw out percentages and your feel for that right now as this coaching staff is currently constructed?
Well, the coaching staff would be more willing to give him the benefit of the doubt because he's a first rounder drafted here by John Elway. So I would think to be fair, he's probably still got a 50-50 shot in their mind of changing opinion. In the media, it's much lower because we watch it every day and we don't have a vested interest in it. He's not my draft pick. He isn't my money. I didn't develop him. And for me, I've just kind of moved on. Like, I hope it works out for him somewhere. I just don't see it working out here. Coaches, I think, still have to have an open mind going into this game. After this game, Mark, if he doesn't play well, then it becomes confirmation that, you know what, we're trying to see something that's just not there. And at some point, as an NFL team, you have to just admit, you know what? It's not going to happen here. The Browns did it with Corey Coleman. You see teams do it with high draft picks. It's uncomfortable. It stinks because you have to admit you made a mistake. But sometimes it's better to admit the mistake, and it's addition by subtraction. You just have to at some point move on.
Yeah, it's like a Band-Aid. At some point you got to rip it off and just say, hey, man, you know what? I know it's going to hurt. Instead of slowly tearing it off, you just rip the damn thing off and you take some hair with it. And you go, okay, we move on from this point. I don't know that they're going to be willing to do that. I don't know if they are.
They're
or
not
they're
there
not.
Yet, but it's, again, you can see that point from here.
Right.
You can see it from here that he's at a crossroads. It's no more. It's just he's young. It's no more. The thing that bothers me, he hasn't bought in. It doesn't feel like to me, and this might be unfair, it doesn't feel like he wants it as much as they want it for him.
Right.
And that's a problem at that position, at any position, but certainly
right.
a quarterback.
And certainly a quarterback, if you don't get it, if you don't understand that your time is short, if you don't understand that, you know, you've got to perform or your job is on the line, if you don't get it, then guess what? I don't really want you here anyhow. If you can't understand that, like if you don't see that writing on the wall, if you don't see how close you are right now to not playing here anymore, then one of two things. Either you don't get it, you don't understand how this game works, and if you don't understand how this game works, then you're no use to me, or you don't want it, you don't want it, you don't care. Like, you've satisfied, like, you got drafted in the first round and you made whatever you made, and that's good enough for you. You can, you know, go back to wherever you came from, and that's good enough for you. And if that's the case, I don't want you either. So it's really funny because when, you know, I would talk about this even last year during the decision, there were a lot of Paxton Lynch supporters on Twitter, on social media. Oh, you just hate Paxton Lynch and you're a jerk and give the kid an opportunity. And you know, there are a lot of supporters out there, Troy, a lot of people that would be on you, just really on you about, you know, what you see and you're not giving him a chance and you're just trying to bury the kid before he's even gotten a chance. You know what? I don't get any of that anymore. Like Broncos country and whatever the supporters were for Paxton Lynch have left. They left the building. Like, even when Tim Tebow was here and then Tim Tebow got cut and you'd say the reason that Tim Tebow got cut, his supporters would still come out and get after you.
Well, at least, but again, Hitzfitz, he won games.
Yeah.
I mean, he went on an historic run, a magical run that was easier to appreciate than explain. Lynch has never done that. He's never won a start as an NFL quarterback. So at least Tebow's supporters.
Now, wait, did he start the Jacksonville game? Did they win that?
I'm sorry, he won that.
He won
Not
that.
Not because of him, in spite of him.
Right, exactly.
Because of Bradley Roby's pick six and
right.
a game plan that was dumbed down to the point where it was embarrassing, frankly.
Yeah.
It was the worst game I've ever watched in person in my life between those two teams.
Mm.
More people in the stands were watching the DirecTV of the NFL package
right.
for their fantasy league teams than that game on the field. But you're right, he has won one. He then lost to the Falcons the next week.
Right.
And then he lost to the Raiders. He took the loss on that game last year, and then he lost in the season finale to the Chiefs.
Well, there you have it right there. That is it. Tomorrow, five positions that need to get better if the Broncos are going to have success. Plus, we'll break down the Minnesota Vikings for you. Got that and a bunch more tomorrow. Troy Rank, Mark Schlereth here for Schlereth and Evans. But up next, it's Pritch and Cecil taking you the rest of the way. Speaking of atrocious, Paxton Lynch's career to this point.